Y'all ready to enter into God's Word this morning? I've got a word for you that I believe the Lord gave me in the middle of the night. If you will listen to me this morning, we'll have another one of those messages that'll set you free.
Amen.
How much more freer can you be? I don't think we've touched the tip of the iceberg. Amen. I don't think we've scratched the surface. I hate to say that, but I heard someone say in a movie this last week, and it doesn't make any difference what the movie was, but the statement was that if you knew your future, you wouldn't have any future.
That's right.
If you knew your future, you wouldn't have any future. Now, I've kind of led you to believe both ways. I've told you I'm already in heaven. Y'all just don't know it yet, but I do. So I know that I don't even have a future in that. It already exists. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But by the same token, God keeps it so refreshing that I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds it.
Amen.
So in that case, I still have a future.
Yes, that's right.
If I believe in future. If I believe that all we have is today and what I've got, then I'm severely handicapped.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
All right. If you've got children's church, head on out. Y'all be blessed. Learn a lot.
Amen.
All right. Everybody grab your Bible. I'm going to do y'all like I do my wife sometime. Focus. Look me in the eyes and let's focus. Let's get on the same track here. We're expecting something from God. Is that the case?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's pray right quick. Father, we are hungry and thirsting after you today. We seek no other for advice or information. We want no other for a diagnosis.
Amen.
We seek only you. You are the life, and that more abundantly.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, cause our hearts to be soft today and our ears open, pliable and to you, flexible, so that we can absorb the Word of God today, the mind of God. We've learned in our studies that to have the mind of God, we must receive the Holy Spirit. We do that now in Jesus' name, expecting in 1 hour from now that our future is brighter than this moment right now.
Amen.
We don't do that because we're a people that are down. We do that because we're God's people and things just keep getting better.
Amen.
We love you, Lord. With all of our hearts, we lay our lives before you now and receive the Word of God. And everybody that agrees says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, my key scripture today is found in Luke chapter 6. And I'm going to lead you, and your mind will go in several directions. Hopefully it will end up where the direction that I believe that God has planned for you today. And the initial title is, If I Can Forgive, Then I Am Forgiven.
Yeah.
If I can forgive, then I am forgiven. Now that's just the topic to get us, so Patrick will have something to put on the CD. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven.
Amen.
I want to repeat the last part of that. It says, forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Now, you're already going in a different direction, so hang on. I want to give you a little simple message today. It's not long. But I can tell you in some form or another, all of us spend our life dealing with some unforgiveness. All of us. All of us. All of us. Something 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 10 years ago, 10 minutes ago. It doesn't make any difference. We're always dealing with some form of unforgiveness. Now, you've been in the church. You know that the word forgive does not mean that you have the ability to forgive sins. It never meant that. It means you have the ability to loose those things. Let them loose. That's what forgive means. The debt is owed to God. You cannot forgive the debt. Only God can forgive the debt.
Amen.
Okay, we got that down. Now I'm going to ask you a little simple question. If somebody asks God for forgiveness, do they get it?
Yes.
Do they?
Yeah.
Do they? Everybody in here on that same page, if you ask God to forgive you, will He forgive?
Yes.
Okay, this is no trick question. I said it's a simple message. It's really, if the Bible very much teaches that if you ask for forgiveness, you will receive it. Okay. Then why do we have trouble dealing with it? I just said we all deal with it, and I meant that. I'm not trying to, that was not a trick statement. We are dealing with it. And I guess the question is, with such a simple answer, both of them were yes, Why do we deal with it? Why are we constantly dealing with it? I'm going to get into that. I know everybody in here has had somebody do them wrong, has had things stolen from you, lied about you, ruined your character, whatever. And I'm going to tell you today, by the Spirit of God, we will forgive and we will be given, forgiven.
Amen.
That's one guy that's going to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember what I told you. If you'll enter into it, you get it. All right. But we need some truth.
Yes.
We need to understand that the way this happens, it was first prophesied of in the Old Testament. It was completed or referred to again in the New Testament. This is what was taken care of. Our Savior would come and pay, release, and forgive, and totally heal.
Amen.
Now, one of the things that we first need to understand when you hear me say totally heal, total healing must begin with forgiveness.
That's right.
It cannot begin with a prayer for healing. Okay?
Yep.
Jesus set some examples in the Bible about healing first, but then he commanded sin no more. Remember that?
Yes.
The reason is because when he prayed for healing, he prayed for healing, spiritually and physically.
That's right.
Then he would command, as the Word of God, sin no more.
Amen.
Now, I'm not going to go a lot that direction, but I want to read to you where forgiveness comes from. Start in Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. This is a word given by prophets in the Old Testament speaking of promising a way to get out from under law. Y'all understand that? This was a prophet speaking to people that only lived under the law, saying to them that soon there's going to be forgiveness ushered in where we don't have to depend on. What's the law? The law means that if you sin, you die. The law is if you sin, you die. Or something's going to die. Old Testament, if you didn't die, something innocent had to die. So death had to be accomplished before sins could be forgiven. Right?
Right.
This is speaking of the Messiah to come who was going to die to pay for sins, the only perfect Lamb. Verse 1. Who has believed our report? All right, look at me for a second. Who in this room has believed the report of the Lord?
Me.
Yeah.
Sure?
Yes.
Why do we deal with things then? Maybe we're still working on believing more and more and more every day, right?
Yeah.
And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. What that means is he's no poster child.
Right.
He's not going to be modeling underwear in some magazine. Not that good looking. In other words, we're not honoring him, obeying him, or recognizing him because he was a great looking or a great speaker or whatever. Because it was a plan of God.
Right.
And when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. I find that interesting. Especially living in the New Testament, looking back at Jesus, why do we desire him? If he's homely or comely, if he's not beautiful, then it's got to be for something else, right?
Amen.
And the reason I bring that up is because, and I brought it up, I think it was last Sunday, I'm telling you that God doesn't desire us because we're beautiful, or because we're great speakers, or because we're perfect people.
That's right.
So let's get this on a leveling playing field. God desired us because he desired us. We desire God because we desire God. Boom.
Amen.
It's innocent. It's pure and it's simple. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. 4. Surely. Y'all got that in your Bible? It's not surely.
That's right.
So everybody else but surely doesn't get it, right? It's surely. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows.
Right.
Got any griefs? Got any sorrows? Why? Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. Y'all get that last part?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why did we judge him to be stricken by God? Y'all listen closely because I'm fixing to hit you with something here. Why? Why would that make us esteem him smitten by God? Can I tell you what's the core of nearly every heart of man? And that is, if somebody is going through something, they deserve it. They must have done something wrong.
Yeah.
It's in the core of you, and it's in the core of me, and it's a fight that we have to fight continually. That if we're going through a trial or a tribulation or a trouble, it's because you did something wrong and you deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And we let that creep in.
Yep.
Now see, up until this moment, I want to tell you, we've all been thinking about somebody else. Now I'm going to talk about you.
Yes.
You see, the biggest problem on the face of the earth is you don't forgive you. You don't walk in the forgiveness that God has given us. And so when a trial or a tribulation comes upon us, then we start searching for the reason or the thing that we did wrong so that we can make it right. Did Jesus do anything wrong?
No. Nope.
But he was still making it right, wasn't he?
Amen.
Wasn't even his problem. But he had to go through the affliction. And those that looked on judged him by saying this, God did it to him. Now let that soak in just for a second. Anything wrong in your life, the enemy's always been faithful to come to you and say, God is doing it to you because you deserved it. And yet we read from Genesis to Revelation just the opposite.
That's right.
Just the opposite. And we began to look at everything through negative viewpoints because we're not smart enough to say, I'm forgiven. You don't understand. I'm forgiven. You don't understand. God knew me before the foundations of the earth. And I was included in on the blood sacrifice.
Yes.
I was washed by that blood before the foundations of the earth. Therefore, you have no accusation that will pin on me or stick to me. And there is no reason that I'm going through an affliction. And there is no reason unless it's for a witness for somebody else. And therefore, so be it. But don't think that I did something wrong.
Amen.
I'm talking to me.
Amen.
You have to talk to you. You can't look in the mirror when something's going wrong and say you did something wrong. You can look in the mirror and say you're covered by the blood.
Amen.
You can look in the mirror and say you're forgiven.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
By the way, that's all you're allowed to say. Anything else is outside the realm of the Word of God.
Right.
Let's go on. What is our answer? Verse 5. But, this is a good time to use the word but. Drop them most places. But right here, but. He was wounded for our transgressions. That's why he was smitten.
Right.
He was bruised for our iniquities. That's why he was smitten.
Mm-hmm.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
That means I am forgiven.
Yes,
sir.
God knew. Jesus paid. I am forgiven.
Yeah.
Verse 6. Just in case anybody thinks they're perfect. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The iniquity of us all was put on him. You know, in the Old Testament, in whatever chronological order it came, or it was annual, or it was some specific thing, when an animal had to die, a perfect animal had to die, nowhere in the world did it say to that person that you have to go back and remember and list every sin before the animal could die?
That's right.
You ever notice that?
Right.
And if that were the case, it would have never happened.
That's right.
Secondly, most of them would have lied and not listed it. But most importantly, it was a blanket statement. You're forgiven. You have now paid the price. But it wouldn't last. The Father decided a better way, a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice. Now, I have no timidity in telling you that I'm not quite where I should be, especially mentally, if I can't take advantage of such a sacrifice. I've missed the mark somewhere. If somebody walked up and said, look, Bill, I want to pay all your bills, and you'll never have another bill due, would you question it or would you just say, thank you? No, he'd question it, just like most of us would.
Exactly right.
And it's wrong. I mean, if one of the things we're going to have to learn, if we're going to be blessed by God in all things, then we're going to have to receive from God in all things.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
We can't go around questioning all the time in fear that somebody's going to get to us when somebody has already got to us, and Jesus is his name.
That's right. Amen.
Come on.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Now the only thing the enemy has is to come and lie. He comes in his still small voice, and he reminds you of something you did or something that was done to you to cause you to stumble, to cause you to get weak, to cause you to see incorrectly. When it says, all of that was put on him. All of it was put on him. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The thing you need to remember, you know why it was reported that Jesus was not a pretty human being? I just said it a while ago. It's just important for us to remember this. So that we don't have to be pretty. Never said he was a great speaker, so you and I didn't have to be. Actually, pretty much described him as not having any characteristics that we would desire. That's a physical statement. So whether we're outcast or whether we're the dirtiest rotten sinner or whether we're still accepted, we're still forgiven, we're still loosed. What are we loosed into? You are healed. You are healed. You are healed. That's better than you are forgiven. Because you're not going to get you are healed until you understand you are forgiven.
Amen.
Because here, and inside of here, that thing that bugs you sometime has to be forgiven. Or it never will have the peace that causes the healing, mentally and spiritually. In Matthew chapter 6. By the way, it wasn't a pleasant thing that Jesus went through.
That's right.
Historically speaking, it was a bloodbath. Why? Because the sin was great. And it took something great to overcome it all. Was it great enough?
Yeah.
Was it great enough in you?
Yeah.
Big enough to overcome any voice of the accuser? Right, bigger. Matthew chapter 6. You're familiar with this, but we're going to look at it from a little different angle. Remember how we started this? We started by saying, you can't forgive until you're forgiven. And I would really submit to you that to the church of today that the biggest problem is people are not forgiven. They think their sins have been washed away, but that doesn't mean they're forgiven.
That's right.
Now listen to what I just said. They'll witness to you that they received Jesus Christ, or whatever, however way they say it. And they'll say that my sins are forgiven, but they do not walk in the forgiveness.
That's right.
And they'll walk in it. Head down, under submission, when the very word forgiveness is loosed.
Right?
That's right. Yeah. All right. Now, let me ask you something. And I don't want you to answer this out loud because I might throw something at you. But what is so big in your life that you can't be loosed from? You sure?
Nothing.
Now come on, by the Holy Spirit, I'm hoping he's bringing up some things in your life that plague you, that bother you. I didn't say what you were innocent of and you didn't do. That isn't what I said. I'm talking about those things that you did, you know you did it, and the enemy won't loose you from it. He keeps bugging you and bugging you and bugging you. Every time something goes wrong, there it is again. See, if that's the case, we're not walking in the forgiveness that's been provided.
That's right.
What about that last thing you did 5 minutes ago that you wish you hadn't done? Well, don't do it next time. Just be forgiven this time.
Amen.
I mean, it's childlike. It's simple. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 through 13. Now, they asked Jesus how to pray. And when you pray, he said, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do.
Right.
So anybody that just does vain repetitions, that's heathen. That's what Jesus called it. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Verse 8. Therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. Well, now how did he do that? Okay, there's the two answers. Number one, he's omniscient. He knows he was before the foundations of the earth. He knew you. That means he knew your needs before the foundations of the earth, before you were born. Listen, some of this you have to say it until you believe it, because it won't sink in the first time. You're too hard-headed. But he knew about these problems. He knew about the mistakes. He knew about the wrongdoings. He knew about all of it, the shortcomings, before the foundations of the earth. If in the Old Testament they didn't have to be listed, they don't have to be listed in the New Testament either.
Amen.
That means that sacrifice that was paid covered those things that you don't even know about yet. Because God knew them and included them in the forgiveness. Do I need to say that again? I think I do. Y'all are looking at me a little strange. God knew, forget about everybody else, about you before the foundations of the earth. He said he named you. He said he counted the hairs on your head.
Yeah.
He knew.
Amen.
And in the package of forgiveness, all of those things that you've known about and you haven't even past that point yet in your life, he just included that in the forgiveness package.
Amen.
So when the enemy brings up something to you, your job is to say, it's taken care of. Here's how he does it. Chuck, the reason you don't have any more money than you do is because you're stupid. See, the devil never says that. You ever had the devil just flat tell you you're stupid? Yeah, friends do that. So-called friends. What he does is he comes in the middle of the night, he comes in a time at your weakest point, and he says, see, it's because, and he points to something. Whether it has depth of fact or whether it's fiction, he still points to something. What is your obligation? You've got to say it. You can't just think it. Because there's a voice coming in you and it needs a louder voice. That's right. You've got to open your mouth and let it fly. And if necessary, you've got to yell it. It don't make any difference. You are forgiven. You are an overcomer. We'll get into all of that in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. When you pray, for the Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. But in this manner, therefore, pray. In other words, now that you understand this, you'll understand how I tell you to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Amen.
Not the name of the sin. Not the name of the mistake.
Yes.
See, our problem is we want to set things up as an idol of things that bother us rather than put God on the pedestal. So he said, stop doing that and say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Right.
Your kingdom come, your will be done. By the way, if you already know what God's will is, you don't have to grapple with that. You don't have to wrestle with that. What is His will? You're forgiven. That's His will. Well, I have needs. He knows that, and He's not interested. They're already taken care of. Don't bring Him up to Him again. Are you taken care of? Are you healed? Which takes care of any lack. You may not think that forgiveness takes care of lack, but healing does. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. You know why he said that? Because he knows humans never forget to eat. And we need more than just food. Here's the important one. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, listen to me carefully. Who is the biggest debtor in this room? Don't include me on your debt. I'm not trying to be smarter like that. What I'm trying to do is personalize this. Say, I am. I am. I'm the biggest debtor in this room. Everybody in this room needs to say, I am the biggest debtor in this room. So, when we pray and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, what are we really praying for? No. Me. I'm praying for me.
Right.
See, we need to remember that there is no forgiveness to be spread in this earth until I enjoy forgiveness. I cannot give something I do not have.
Right.
And I cannot give the full package of forgiveness and healing until I accept the package. So when I pray, forgive us our debts, that's me. And I'll even change it and say, so that I can forgive other debtors.
Amen.
And do not lead us into temptation. God never does that.
That's right.
But you got to remember, some people think that God does everything. Who's leading you into temptation? But deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Here's the thing we've got to understand. Jesus was delivered in a package of imperfectness. Are you hearing me carefully? Nowhere does it say Jesus was a perfect package. In fact, it points the opposite. In his looks and his form, his personality, his speech, nothing that any of us would desire.
That's right.
He was given to us that way. Why? Because we're always looking for perfect. Turn on the TV. There's not one advertisement that tries to sell a dress to my wife. They pick this perfect bodied outfit, even if she's uglier than mud. We take a perfect bodied outfit and we sell a dress that looks, look, if you buy that for your wife, it'll look like that on her. And then we're disappointed when it doesn't. Why? Because we are not looking. Listen, if we spend our time knowing that we're the greatest debtors, that makes us not so pretty. But if we spend our time knowing that we are the forgiven ones and we offer forgiveness, we get a little prettier, especially inside.
Yeah.
So I'm not looking for the perfect speech and I'm not looking for the perfect package to deliver a word from God. I am a word from God. I am forgiven. That's the word from God that I am.
Amen.
When we begin to start proclaiming that out loud, the enemy has less and less opportunity to come and tell us what a failure we are.
That's right.
Okay. God looks at me and he sees forgiven. Because of the blood of Jesus, because of the sacrifice, he sees forgiven. The enemy comes along and tells me over and over, I'm not forgiven. And our tendency is to believe him over what God sees.
Yes.
I'm going to keep saying this until y'all get it. Different ways, different. And I'm never going to walk in the fullness that God has for me until I see me through his eyes.
Yes.
And stop seeing me through foolish eyes. God knew that we couldn't walk perfect by law, only by our heart. Now is my heart perfect? It isn't? It isn't. What's wrong with my heart? My heart is desperately wicked, the Bible says. Let me tell you what that means. I haven't quite traded enough of my heart for God's heart.
Yes, that's right.
Or I would not be dealing with unforgiveness. If I had the heart of God, the mind of God in me, which is what I'm trying to teach to you this morning, we're going to get that by speaking it and speaking it and speaking it. If I had that mind of Christ in me, then I'm going to know that I am perfect.
Amen.
See, I waited till the middle of this thing to sneak that up on you. Quit looking at me. I'm talking to you. I'm not telling you I'm perfect. I'm telling you I'm perfect in God's eyes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I'm trying to tell you, you are the same way no matter what the accusations are. And mostly through your friends and loved ones will come accusations. You're not going to listen to somebody off the street over here telling you what a goof you are. You're not going to do that. You're going to listen to somebody that you have some confidence in. Jesus taught us this way. Get behind me, Satan.
Yes.
I shared a little bit with my wife this morning, and guess who became the accuser? She did. She did. She blasted me right out of the, well, what about this and what about that? And, you know, I took it to begin with because that's what I'm used to doing. And then I remembered the message that I had just prepared. And I said, you need to repent because you have spoken with the mouth of the enemy. I'm not going to say, get behind me, Satan. I'm smarter than that. And you know what? She instantly did. She said, I'm sorry. You're right. I didn't mean to do that. She wasn't dumb enough to argue with me because I'm not the one that she needs to argue with. I was speaking the word of God at that moment. Now, come on. Am I accusing her of something? No. But if I can help her not become a part of the accuser, I've helped her greatly.
Yes.
Amen? Because then what will happen is, if I don't approach that right now, and her or me, either one, let's just be honest, if I don't stop that in me or anyone around me, then I'm going to get the second visit. And the third visit. And the fourth visit from the enemy until I finally get bold enough to say, get behind me, Satan.
Yes.
Do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to a forgiven one.
That's right.
You're talking to a healed one. And you're talking to one that's twice as smart as you ever thought about being. Because I didn't reject Jesus.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. That's what I told you this morning. This is the message that I heard from God, and I'm declaring to you right now.
Amen.
That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Right.
Now, what we need to do with just this scripture alone is achieve to be in Christ Jesus, not to achieve to be light. You hear me? Our darkness goes away by being in Christ Jesus, not by being the brightest bulb on the corner.
Amen.
This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If I receive any accusation from the enemy, I'm walking in darkness.
Yes.
And I don't practice the truth. If I approach God and I say I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, I'm walking in darkness. I'm not walking in truth. Are you forgiven?
Yes.
Then why would I be asking for forgiveness? See, there's a difference between asking forgiveness and repenting.
Yeah.
Repenting is more into turning and going the other direction than it is asking forgiveness. Because a contrite heart, y'all have heard that phrase before?
Yeah.
A contrite heart is a heart that's full of sorrow, but not because you're sorry. I mean, because you're sorrowful. It's because you're sorry and you never want to do that again.
Amen.
I can weep. I can cry. Have you ever seen people do that? My goodness. They can turn on tears and just tug at your heart. And I'm to the point now, I'm just so sick of it, it doesn't touch my heart anymore. Don't cry. Don't affect me anymore. I want to see the walk. That's the way God is. That's, I've already forgiven you. How about some walk? Well, that thing I did, I don't want to hear it. I'm tired of listening to you talk. I want to start seeing some walk. Do I need to remind you again that I knew about this before the foundation of the earth? That I knew that you'd have this need, this moment, for forgiveness? So grab a hold of the forgiveness and wipe out the need. Come on, let me say it again. God would say to you under any conditions, grab a hold of the forgiveness and wipe out the need. Erase it with your praise. Erase it with your prophecy. Erase it with the words from God that God has given you. Y'all ever heard of the word shield of faith?
Mm-hmm.
Well, where is it? When the enemy comes, where's your shield of faith? Well, I'll tell you where it's at. It's in what words you speak.
Amen. Amen.
The Holy Spirit promised to give you words at the proper time. Bring to your remembrance. So even if it sounds egotistical, if the Holy Spirit prompts you to start speaking word against accusation, then you speak the word.
Amen. Yes.
It says you can say to a mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and if you don't doubt it, you can have it. Now what mountain are we facing? I guarantee you it's an accuser. He's titled the accuser of the brethren.
That's right.
That's his title. What do you think he's going to be best at?
Accusing the brethren.
You're accusing. What's our major fight then? It's against accusation. It's to keep the faith. The faith that I'm forgiven. The faith that I'm healed. The faith that I have a future. And I don't care how many failures. That's Bob, you and I. It don't make any difference how many failures we've had. We got a tomorrow based on the Word of God, not on what's happened back there.
That's right.
Not even 5 minutes ago. It's best on, based on what God has done, not what I have done. It's based on what God has done, not what I have done.
Right.
Say it again. It's based on what God has done, not what I have done.
Amen.
See, I can look in here, and I can tell you right now, I don't know one smart man dealing with money. I don't know one smart man dealing with, or woman, dealing with a lot of situations. But I can tell you, I'm looking to a bunch of smart people when they begin to say, it's not what I've done, it's what God has done. Now you got the whole thing under control. You're wise among wisdom. We're getting started. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Anybody in here ever say they've never sinned? Well, then that's another thing God knew about us. Right? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So this whole picture is not based on whether we've sinned or not. It's based on whether we are forgiven or not.
Amen.
Tomorrow is not based on whether you have sinned today. It's based on whether you're forgiven today.
Amen.
Or not. And of course, the cement wall on this thing is if you can't allow yourself to be forgiven, you will never, ever, ever be able to forgive anybody else. And the Bible says that when you stand praying, if you have something against somebody, you've got to let it loose. And the bottom line of this thing is if you haven't let you loose, you can't let anybody else loose. So none of your prayers can be answered. It's got to start. I've got to get this down to you. It's got to start right here.
Yes.
It can't go any further in power and strength unless it starts right here. If we are to walk in all that God has, we must be forgiven. Did you hear me? Now I'm moving out past forgiveness. If we're going to walk in all that God has for us, we have to be forgiven. God's promises do not work on the unforgiven.
Yes, that's right.
Why? Because your prayers can't be heard. I just quoted to you. Remember what I said about mountain being removed, cast in the sea? Right after that it says, but when you stand praying, if you have aught against anybody, you've got to give that up. You've got to loose it before your prayers can be answered. We have failed to bring that home to inside of us. The reason our mountains don't move is because we haven't forgiven us. I have aught against me. I hate some of the things that I've done. I hate some of the things that I've said. I hate some of the things that have been done to me. The problem is you are not forgiven because that's the foremost thing in your mind. That foremost thing in your mind blocks the provisions of God.
That's right.
Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 36. The very first verse, I want you to hold on to this. Luke chapter 6, verse 36. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful. Anybody in here think God is full of grace and mercy? Who do you think he's talking about here? So you got to be merciful to you? You got it. It's got to start right here. See, too many times we walk, and this is where I was raised as a young man, is that I had no mercy on me. Now, I don't care where you are. If you want to talk about the workplace, if you want to talk about friendships, if you want to talk about wife and children, if you want to talk about anything, I had no mercy. I still don't have a lot. I got to work on this. Because I haven't seen God as a merciful God. I've seen him as a high God. There's a difference. God is not looking over my shoulder waiting for me to make a mistake. He already has seen it. He's already seen it. And it's in the forgiveness package. It's already taken care of. Even that history that I just described. I can learn from it, but I can't hold it. Because my merciful God has already eliminated it. All those dumb and stupid things under the title of righteousness was more self-righteousness than anything else. Amen? Yeah. See, y'all can see you in what I'm saying about me, so y'all say amen once in a while. Yeah. That's mine. That's me. That's what amen also means. That's me. Not just that's for me.
Yes.
Do you serve a merciful God?
Yeah.
Then, just as your Father is also merciful, be merciful to you. Hard one to take, isn't it, Harry? But I got to be merciful to me. See, I'm going to learn. You know how you know when I start learning mercy? I start giving some. That's when I get mercy. I mean, that's when you see mercy. It's when I start giving it. That means I begin to get it. And if I commit a sin, I don't care if it's 30 years ago. If I don't practice the mercy that God is, not that he's full of, but that's who he is, then I can never release it. I can never have my prayers answered. I can never enjoy the things of God. Now, if you think this is a complicated message, this is the simplest thing I've ever taught in my life. It goes right back to the altar where you said, God, I give my life to you.
Yes.
It don't even go one step past that. We forgot the simplicity and the power of that meeting. Verse 37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Somebody here needs to say, that's for me.
That is for me.
Don't judge yourself, or you'll be judged. Don't condemn yourself, and you won't be condemned. Forgive yourself, and you'll be forgiven.
Yeah.
Oh, forgive yourself, and you will be forgiven. One of the highlights of this whole thing that needs to be spoken and heard right now. God can't forgive you until you forgive you. You just read it right there. If you don't forgive you, God can't forgive you. If you don't stop condemning, you'll never walk out of condemnation. You'll always walk into condemnation. Are you hearing me? If you ever give up your forgiveness, you're not forgiven. The enemy will make sure you understand that.
Yes.
He'll be faithful to explain that every day and every night, every moment. Verse 38, after you've got that taken care of. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. Men will be put. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Oh, with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Not in this, no, absolutely not. It's talking about forgiveness. If I give myself good measure of forgiveness, God's going to give me a good measure of forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, when God starts giving you a good measure of forgiveness, I'm going to have a bunch left over for somebody else.
Yeah.
Because it's promised to give back to me, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, once I can get that down, then maybe I can receive it in a money context. But I got to, first things first.
Yes. Right.
There's nothing worse than a rich man with unforgiveness. Nothing worse. Because he thinks that he did it, and he's totally unforgiving for anybody else that hasn't done it. If I can do it, you can do it. And yet he'll rub his head and say, you never can make enough money. I want God's good measure. How about y'all?
Yeah.
All right, let me give you that scripture that we just read. Contained the word forgiveness, and I'm going to tell you what that word was. New Testament, it's 6:30. It's pronounced apalu, which is basically your root word for apology. It means this. It means to free fully. The very first statement out of the mouth of the dictionary, to free fully. I'm not looking in a room right now where people are walking fully free. I want that. I want it for me, and I want it for y'all.
Amen.
To be so free that our feet only touch the ground about every sixth step. And that we can run and not be weary and walk and not faint.
Amen.
Because the load is easy and light.
Yep. Amen.
Because I'm free. To free fully. To relieve. To release. To dismiss. Here's the good one. To let die. We talk about the flesh dying. We don't enforce it. We've got to enforce it with the Word of God, by our faith, so that we walk in this freedom. It also means to pardon or divorce. This is so simple. It's why we fail. We've got to forgive ourselves first before we can forgive others. We must get our minds set and firm in this truth that we are forgiven. We are forgiven by God through Jesus Christ, and He makes no mistakes.
Amen.
Do you understand that the Bible says that God does not do anything halfway? So your forgiveness was never given to you halfway. You might have taken advantage of it halfway, but it was never given to you halfway.
Yeah, that's right.
Fully free doesn't mean nearly fully free.
That's right. Amen.
When I think about things like this, I remember Paul, the guy that used to kill Christians, saying, that wasn't me. I never did that. Now that's fully free.
Yeah.
When I can look even to people that know that I've done something, and I can say, that's a different guy. That wasn't me.
Right.
Now, that's fully free, and I'm about to hit this roof right now. That wasn't me. That's not who I am.
Amen. Amen.
Yes,
thank
that's
you,
not
Lord.
Me.
Thank you, Lord.
That's right. I wasn't.
You're broke. No, sir. That's not me. You must look at somebody else. You're full of unforgiveness. No, you're mistaken. I am forgiven. That's what I'm full of.
Amen.
I know what you're full of. You can say that to the accuser. I know what he's full of. You really do know what he's full
yes,
of.
Yes.
We are forgiven.
Yes,
he said it. He did it. That's that.
Amen.
I don't care what the enemy says. He said it.
Amen.
He did it. That's that.
Amen.
Now any voice that denies that I am forgiven, I put down. It's a lie.
Amen.
Any voice that proclaims that I'm not worthy of all that God has, I must put it down.
Yes.
It's a lie. Let me tell you, you're not listening careful enough. I'm going to say it to you again. You are going to have voices come to you and tell you you're not worthy.
That's right.
Your obligation to defend your God is to call Him a liar.
Yes. Yes.
Your God did not forgive you partially.
That's right.
You are totally, freely forgiven. And you must defend that position and your God that gave you that position.
Yes.
I'm free. I'm required to forgive myself as freely as God forgave me. Gene, I'm required to forgive myself as freely as God forgave me. As freely. Nothing withheld, no holds barred. Right, Patrick?
Yeah.
I don't care what the accusation is. I don't care. It may be true. I'm still forgiven.
Amen.
I must receive the forgiveness and freedom as freely as Jesus gave it.
Amen.
One thing I know for sure, that when I was forgiven in this package deal, it didn't say except for Stan.
That's right.
Because I know that fool, and he's going to do this stupid thing, and I never will be able to cover that with the blood. Oh, yeah, sure. That's what the enemy would have you believe.
Yeah.
Your job is to stand up and say, you're a fool.
Yes.
You're a liar. This is the truth. I'm forgiven. I am forgiven. I'm freed. I'm loosed. I'm pardoned. As surely as there is a God. If the world is there to ever accept Jesus as Savior, you must be forgiven and walk in that surety. You must show forgiveness.
Yeah.
If you ever want the world to know that there's a God that forgives, you've got to show them there's a God that forgives. Because I'm forgiven, I walk in salvation. You understand? Once I'm forgiven, I can walk in salvation. I can walk in the healing, the prosperity, and power, not because of how good I am, but because of how great God is.
Yes. Amen.
And how true and sure His Word is. When the enemy comes, don't side with him. Go against him. Speak the Word of God, because that's sure. If the world is to ever accept Jesus as Savior, you must be forgiven. Walk in that surety. Psalms 103:12. Psalms 103:12 says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us.
Hallelujah.
As far as the east is from the west.
Yeah. That's the truth.
It's the truth anytime there's an accusation. It's always the truth, but it comes truth to you when you say it. When do you need to say it? When you're under fire. From a disease, a malady, from an accused sin. Hey, from a mistake. We're a whole lot more likely to get accused by making mistakes than we are by sinning.
Yep.
Seed forgiveness into yourself for a harvest in others. Seed forgiveness in yourself for a harvest in others. Nobody wants to know what you know in law. Nobody wants to even hear what you believe about law. They only want to know grace and mercy through forgiveness. Or forgiveness through grace and mercy.
Amen.
Genesis 8:22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest.
Yes.
Seed forgiveness into you. Listen, this is the most important thing you've ever heard in your life. It's the most important thing I've heard ever. Because I'm not going to get past this. I'll always walk in this. I can get past a lot of things, but I'll never get past this. Refuse to in Jesus' name. I'm going to look in the mirror. I'm going to think when I'm alone, when I'm laying awake at night, or when I'm awake in the daytime. I'm going to say, you're forgiven, Stan. And I'm going to seed that into me. And you're going to seed it into me. We're forgiven. We're forgiven. I am forgiven. And I'm going to keep seeding that until I get the harvest.
Amen.
And then others are going to enjoy the harvest. I'm going to enjoy the fullness of God. They're going to enjoy the harvest of forgiveness, which will lead them into the fullness of God.
Yes.
All of us want God's provisions, such as healing, power, finances, and heaven. Right?
Yes. Right.
We have a hard time walking in these because we refuse to accept the primary provision. We want to jump to the secondary provisions and skip the primary. Forgiveness. See, we need to begin to trust God fully. By the way, let me put this in there. Not hope. I don't want to hope anything. I want to trust.
Yes.
The only way that I can receive forgiveness is to know I'm forgiven. Not to hope I'm forgiven.
Amen.
I want to speak it. I'm going to speak it. I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to speak it again. And I'm especially going to say it every time I don't feel like it. I'm going to speak it in my praise, and I'm going to force it down the enemy's throat.
Amen.
I'm going to force it on me. And I'm always going to speak the truth that says, I am forgiven. Because I'm forgiven, I'm healed. Because I'm forgiven, I walk in His provisions.
Yes.
I got it. It's a package deal, people.
Right.
We haven't had the full package because we haven't taken the full package.
Right.
We want to go for that and not be forgiven. Because forgiven, my goodness. I keep talking about this. It's the easiest thing in the world to be forgiven, and yet it's the hardest thing we have to deal with.
Yes.
Because there's a faithful accuser.
Yeah.
It is not, I have provisions, therefore I am forgiven. That's not the way it is. It's, I am forgiven, therefore I have all provision.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. Reality. I am forgiven, therefore I have all provision.
Hallelujah.
I'm not forgiven when I show you provision.
That's right.
It's an important statement. I am a child of God, therefore a rightful heir of God.
Amen.
I can write faith checks.
Amen.
Let's start with forgiveness. Write the biggest, simplest one of all. I'm forgiven. Write it. Say it. Put it up on the wall. Doesn't make any difference what. I can never be forgiven until I forgive myself from everything. All.
Amen.
When we get it, we can give it.
That's right.
What a gift to the world. What a gift to the world.
Yeah.
Just for a moment. I want you to be quiet and listen. And I can guarantee you, you've already heard a voice that's not God. In that simple second, you heard a voice that was not God already explaining to you why this wouldn't work. Nobody ever told you that the devil couldn't walk in a church. Now for that moment that was spoken to you, I want you to say, I am forgiven. Oh, that was way too timid.
I am forgiven.
Listen to me. There is no voice that can overcome that voice.
Amen.
Because you didn't speak it first. You're just echoing what you already know, what God has spoken to you.
Amen.
Now, just for this moment, are all hearts in that area clear? Are you forgiven? If you're not, we need to pray.
Yes.
We need to lay some hands on. We need to speak some things over you. If you don't feel forgiven right now, you need to join with us so that we can just dump some on you. Come on, it doesn't make any difference what it is. It doesn't make any what it's about. That's the foolishness of this whole thing. Well, I just remember when I did. Well, that's your problem. Quit remembering. God forgot it. Why are you remembering it? By the way, let me say something to all of you. In the next couple of years, couple of months, couple of days, couple of hours, you're going to make some more mistakes. You're going to make some more mistakes. And you're still forgiven.
Right.
You're still forgiven. You're still forgiven. It's the most fantastic thing that God has ever done on the face of this earth is speak that word, you're forgiven. Most fantastic thing in the world was Jesus would sacrifice himself to fulfill that word of the Father. Now you are no one to be questioning this. You are not big enough, strong enough, or smart enough to question this. We just got to be big enough and strong enough to speak it, seed it, until the enemy has to find some other way to come at us. Because it's not working anymore.
Amen.
It deals with finances. I know nobody in here has made a financial mistake. So one day when you do, it's covered. It's covered. It did not bankrupt God.
Yeah.
See, because God owns all the money. So if you made a mistake over here and it went over here, it didn't leave his hands.
That's right.
He still has it. He still has it. Hallelujah. But you don't understand how many years I've failed it. No, I don't have to. I don't even want to know about it. God knows. He knew. It's taken care of. Well, but you don't understand. I'm just not doing anything for God right now. Well, maybe it's because you haven't understood this, or I haven't understood this basic principle. I can't do anything for God until I receive what God has given me.
Amen.
I can't really walk in the power. I got a little note on my desk that the Holy Spirit gave me the other day. It is, my mind can't even fathom what God could do through me if I would just get free. How am I going to get free? Well, see, I can't get any freer. He's already forgiven me. So it must be me. I maybe haven't totally forgiven me. So every moment of every day, Stan, you're forgiven. You're walking on the top of the world, man. You're in Christ Jesus, therefore there is no darkness in you. Every time the enemy speaks, every time he gives you a reason because you're failed, don't make any difference what it is. This is so, so basic good. Every scripture in the Bible is for you, including forgive. Please don't take this message as you got to go out and ask somebody for forgiveness. I didn't want you to do that. I don't want you to do that. I want you to do what God has told you to do this morning, which is take care of you.
Yes.
The reason that there are so many sick and weak among you is because you don't rightly discern.
Yes, that's right.
Start with you. If you judge yourself correctly, the world will never judge you. You know that scripture? They cannot judge you. Why? Because I've already judged myself to be a debtor.
Yeah.
But somebody's paid my debt. Come on. Somebody's paid my debt. You just don't know. You don't know how ugly I am. How inept I am. That's what the enemy does to you. I saw this in his example the other day, and I'm going to tell you again. I mean, I'm going to tell it to you now. If I had a $100 debt, and I said, or you did, and I gave you the $100, take it, Bill. Don't keep it. This is only an example. You'd say thank you. Right? What if it looked like this? Would it still pay the debt? See, we have a debt. Jesus has a debt to the world. We have a debt to the world. And it doesn't make any difference if it looks brand new or if it looks like this, which most of us do. It still works.
Yes.
That's where I've started. Jesus was not a pretty thing. You and I are not a pretty thing. But I promise you, it takes care of the bills.
Yes.
So I have no debts. It doesn't make any difference if it's paid for like this. Or if I owe somebody grace and mercy. If I look like this, it's still enough.
Yes.
All I got to do is admit that it's enough. What if I'm the one that says, because I look like this, I can pay no debt? Does this still have the value?
Oh, yeah.
God says it does. I say it, everybody else does. But I'm saying it has no value. I'm the one rule this to be without value. Now, I just need my, I'll use a phrase that my dad used. I just need to straighten up and fly right. That's just nonsense. I never saw anybody turn down a $100 bill because it was a little wrinkled. And I promise you, you're not turned down in God's eyes. And when He wants to use you, you're not so crumbled up and mutilated that you can't meet the bill. Amen? Once again, all hearts clear. We'd love to pray with you if you need to be prayed for. What you really need is forgiveness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, you know you don't deserve the heart problems. See, it's the first thing we need to tell people when they ask us for help is you don't deserve those things that people or accusers or whatever say you have. You don't deserve it. By the way, I think that if, don't you think God's honest enough that we deserved it, He'd have told us? And nowhere in there does He say that. Father, I don't know the full story about this, but I can already hear from the heart. She seeks you. That means she seeks a total provision package. Not just forgiveness, but for healing. She has mentioned heart problems. And in Jesus' name, we proclaim that to be a lie. Because the accusation has no truth in it. Only God has truth. And His statement, we read it in Isaiah and all through the New Testament. By His stripes, you are healed. That means forgiven. That means restored. That means sickness and disease. As far as I'm concerned, what I can study in the Bible, the way we enforce that is to reject accusations, reject diagnoses, and accept only the Word of God as truth. And now we speak that in her life now. She is healed. She's healed. She's healed. She walks in health. We need her. Harry needs her. She needs her. She's got some things to accomplish in children. future. And so we speak not only healing, but that thing that gives her energy, that gives her excitement. And she gets so full of that that she just passes it on to Harry instead of Harry passing it on to her. She's excited. She's excited in Christ Jesus. She's excited in her health. Her exciter is excited. She walks in that health now in Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees says amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else here? Father, we thank you for this man gracing us with his presence on his birthday. But Lord, what I really want to say right now is let this be the birthday of total forgiveness in him. For he no longer worries about sin and thought, word, or deed, but he only worries about, by faith and by the words of his mouth, walking in total forgiveness, total freedom and forgiveness, so that he can give it to the world. The world needs it so badly. Father, you think any health problems, any mental problems, and I don't mean insanity, I mean those things that plague all of us. I speak to those things and tell them to be cursed and replaced with the bruises, the blood, the stripes of Jesus Christ and him crucified and resurrected. We thank you, Father, for the plan. Teach us to walk the plan. God, this man has a shine about him. He's got God all over him. We thank you for that.
Yes.
Lord, I ask you to place him in a place where he can let that go and let it be manifested. We need, the world needs, your church needs. Teach us our value. Teach us that we have something to add. We don't go to get, but we go to give in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, anoint his mind, his emotions and will. Fill him with the Holy Spirit once again, fresh and anew, so that he's looking forward to the future in Christ Jesus, being led, being healed, being restored, knowing that every step is for God, and for that, he gets a promise for every step. We love you, Lord. We speak these things in agreement. We do them in Jesus' name. Say, it's finished. It's finished. So be it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Well, then you just need to agree with what we prayed Wednesday night. Because I promise you, those who are here, we prayed that he would be saved and then healed. Not because we don't understand, but we agree again this morning. Father, we bring him up to you again. We know the devil, just like all of us, would have him, would want him dead and destined for hell. We curse that want.
Yes.
We replace it with the wooing of the Holy Spirit now, especially right this moment in Jesus' name. That man meets eternity. Not for the final time, but right now he gets that glimpse of where he's headed, and he changes his ways in his heart so that he can be ready, not particularly for right now, but whenever that you come, he will be ready. Then if it be your will, and we know it is, saved, forgiven, and healed, where he can rise up and he can become that fire for God that we need in the world. We speak that over her brother now. We use her as the vehicle in his presence where the Holy Spirit can minister and woo. You're faithful in that. We claim victory now in Jesus' name, not because we're worthy, but because you are. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Boy, you're not forgiven. For your ability to forgive you. Well, everybody in this church knows how rotten this girl is. And how no good she is. And how much sin she's been involved with. See how silly that sounds? But that's how the enemy talks. And he doesn't talk like I did jokingly. He talks accusingly. Your answer is, it's not me. I forgive you. forgive.
Yeah. Yes.
It's how simple it is. I'm not trying to make this complicated. I've tried my best this morning to make it simple. It is simple as this. Yeah, I'm not guilty. Forgiveness means I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty of your accusations. I'm forgiven. And here's how hard it is. You got to say it. You got to say it over and over. All of these people, they're going to have trouble. See, you're going to have the easiest because you're young and you're learning. Us old, you know what? We want to think we know things. And it's embarrassing if we say, I'm forgiven. Especially if I have to say it out loud in front of somebody. Well, we're the wrong ones. We're the wrong ones. We need to learn, I am forgiven. I am forgiven. And practice it until the enemy doesn't even have a hold of us anymore. So in Jesus' name, you receive that word that God has given you, that feeling that you need it is now yours. You are forgiven from all of those dirty, dirty things you've committed. See, you've committed no dirty, dirty thing. The enemy's told you you have, and he's a liar. Your heart's after God. Listen to me. Your heart's after God. Rest in that. God would have you say, I am forgiven. Just do it. Just do it. Even when your brother calls you crazy, I'm forgiven. Right? I know he would never do that, but just in case. Just in case your friends out there call you some crazy name because you're a little too Christian. No, I'm forgiven. I'm not Christian. I'm forgiven.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Just walk in it. Walk in it. Exercise. You want to get... Anybody else? You want to get forgiven, you got to exercise. By the way, I'm not talking about making God forgive you. I'm talking about you forgiving you.
Yeah.
All hearts clear? All right. Took us a while to get in. Let's see how long it takes us to get out of here. See if Colfax is open yet. Y'all pray with me just for a second. Don't forget our little fellowship afterwards. Father, we thank you for your word today. Holy Spirit, we thank you for ministering that word, administering that word today. Now, cause it to go deep in our hearts and then bring to our remembrance the very next second that the accuser comes, that we put him down, not just today, a week from now, but for the rest of our lives, we proclaim we are forgiven. Therefore, we seed into that so that others can harvest, we can harvest, and others can harvest. And in Jesus' name, we ask him, thank you, and everybody agrees, says, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.